today, everyone embarked on a spiritual way of life should have a concern far greater than the demonstration of his own daily harmony. And that concern should be for the survival of the entire world. The question now is there a principle of life, a spiritual principle, that will govern the world? Is there a principle which can now be realized and relied upon to prevent the destruction of civilization and the extermination of mankind? That raises many important questions. At this particular level of the message, in that particular year, we were using words like the extermination of civilization and the extermination of mankind. Even the Christ in the Bible speaks of the end of the world. But when you have located the world in your mind, it is the end of the world. When you have located civilization in your mind, that is the extermination of civilization for you. We want to see that Joel is speaking not at the absolute level at this point in this book. That came later. But through the preparation at this level, it was possible to then come to the mind of man at the absolute level with the teaching of incorporeality which followed the year later. We who have had the advantage of seeing the later book can accept that this would not be the language for you at this particular moment. You should be past the point of believing that civilization can be exterminated, or that the world can be obliterated. Just as God has no pleasure in your dying, and only the death of mortality in your consciousness is the acceptable death unto God, so only the death of the world in your consciousness is acceptable. If I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. Now the Comforter is finally revealed to us as the realization of your Christ self. When you have accepted your Christ self as the only self in the universe, the Comforter has come unto you. What else made you accept the Christ self but the Comforter? But if I go not away, you cannot reach that realization. And now I is revealed not to be Jesus, but the world mind. The world's sense of self must go away. You must rise above the world's sense of self, just as I is Christ, and then the little I is Jesus. This little I that must go away is the mortal selfhood of the world. When Jesus appears saying, "If I go not away," this is the statement that mortal selfhood universally must be obliterated in consciousness. That is I going away. When you obliterate mortal selfhood as a universal fact in your consciousness, I have gone away. And then the Comforter, which is universal Christhood, can come unto you. There's no extermination of civilization, is there? There's no civilization to exterminate. But these were words that were necessary in 1963. They're words that are also necessary in 1973 for most of the world. They're not necessary for you anymore. You don't need words anymore that give a sense of reality to this world. Because you have traveled a higher path than the path of those in the first and the second degree. You're at the point where, to you, the world never did exist, because I have overcome the world. But this is not the I that must go away for the Comforter to come unto you. Those are the two natures of I. There is I, the world I, the mortal I, which must go away for the Comforter, which is the I Christ, which has overcome the world. Now, if you have not overcome the world, think for a moment. Where are you? Can you truthfully say that I have overcome the world? If you cannot, then you're not in the I, are you? Because I have overcome the world. And if you cannot say, I have overcome the world, then you're not in that I. Then where are you? You're divided. You're separated from I. You're separated from the Christ. You're not accepting yourself to be the Christ, and that is why you cannot say, I have overcome the world. But you must come to the place where I in you says, I have overcome the world. And that is why you must do this world work. To come to the place where the world has no fear for you, where there's no life in the world to die. When you have realized I, which has overcome the world, then you will realize you have no life that could ever die in the world, or be sick in the world, or be limited in the world. You recognize that when Jesus walks through walls or walks on water, this is the revelation of the nature of your being, that the I of you, the spirit of you, the self of you, is ever walking through the walls and windows of the world, even now. But how can you know this if you are still believing in the presence of a world? And so the world work, which ostensibly begins to help the world, is actually a deeper thing. It's to make us be lifted into the realization of the I of our being, which has overcome the world. For us now, we must live in the absolute realization that the world has already been overcome. It has no existence in I Christ. And because I Christ is your name, the world can have no existence in you. You are sowing completely to one infinite spirit without opposite. And so, for others, it's called world work, and they may think they're improving the world, but at your level, you should know the difference. We're living differently than anyone on this earth, except those invisible selves who know the truth of oneself, and those visible ones who from time to time retreat into the silence, sometime for long periods when they're never seen anywhere. They too are knowing the one invisible self, which is the all, the I, which has overcome the false concept called world. That's why we're not looking at our own daily harmonies. Joel says, is there a principle of life, a spiritual principle that will govern the world? And he says, there can be no question but that an individual can rise so high above the immediate circumstances on earth as to make himself immune to the disasters of this world. And so there are those on earth who today can walk immune, we in some measure. Find that we're not subject to many of the things that other people are. Now he says that's not enough. Is that all that is concerning him? If it is, we may find that the world is a lonesome place to be in. This is the age in which everyone who is seriously on this path should forget his own problems. And mind you, he's saying that to his students, forget your problems. Something in us says, well, who's going to take care of me? Doesn't charity begin at home? Who's going to take care of me while I'm taking care of the world? And I want to make that very clear. You're not taking care of the world. You're accepting your infinite self. And that's who is taking care of me. You are. You're taking care of your infinite self, not your visible body. And all things are added unto you. You see the difference in the focus? Not only, says Joel, should we be ready to forget our own problems, but even be willing to lose our life, if need be, in the search for and the demonstration of that principle which will mean life for this globe. And all of a sudden we are face to face with this. Again, when he says lose our life, he's talking about a life that has no existence, isn't it? That's why we can lose it. You cannot lose your divine life. You can lose your mortal sense of life, and that's what he means. Somewhere in here, it becomes clear that most of us in the world have rejected the supreme gift that we have been given. God has given us the supreme gift, which is Himself. And unless you accept divinity, you reject the supreme gift of all and want to protect mortality, which only exists in the mind. And so you protect the illusion and reject the reality. Perhaps 50 lessons ago, this might have been a difficult thing to accept. We've been through 66 weeks of the Gospel of John. And that followed on many other things. We are learning to impersonalize the world. There's no such thing as personalized evil, says Joel. If you've worked with the principles of the infinite way, you've already proved that the impersonalization of evil is three-quarters of all that is necessary for healing. Three-quarters. In other words, when there's no outer world in your consciousness, you're very close to that inner peace, which is beyond human understanding, but which is the dissolution of the illusion. Now, so far we've added something to this chapter that you haven't seen in the chapter. That is that there is no outer world. I do suspect that toward the end we have a quotation here that brings that into focus, but it's much too important to just come to us at the end of a two-hour meeting. It's something we've got to learn to live with. And so I've been stressing it for that reason. Instead of impersonalizing evil and saying there's no person there, we're going that extra step and we're taking that person there and bringing them inside and saying they exist only in my mind. That is how you impersonalize them. You can't say they're not there with words. You've got to take them inside and see where they do exist. They exist only in your mind. You impersonalize them by knowing that they exist only within your mind. And I mean literally. that no matter who you look at, they exist only within your mind. That is yourself, and you are not seeing yourself, you're seeing a person. That is God's self, and you're not seeing God, you're seeing a person. You cannot have a person and God too, because God is one and there is no other. There is no God and. Every chapter in this book has brought us to the place where we can say there is no person there. There is no form there. There is no tree there. There is no valley there. That is all within my mind. And it's within the mind of everyone else who sees it. There is no evil on the earth because there is no person in whom evil can be. And that's the impersonalization of evil. There's no person there in whom the evil can be. And so we see there is no evil in a person because there's no person. And therefore, there is no evil person there. And there is no cause for evil because the only cause is God. You're taking the whole world and not bothering with the left side and the right side and the high and the low and the in-between, the whole world, and putting it in your mind where it belongs and seeing that's the only place it is. And automatically you are impersonalizing and nothingizing when you do that without having to go through steps. Joel had a meditation in this chapter, which I think we can do now. His meditation says, and we'll do it with our eyes closed, but I'll have to read it to you because I'd like his words, the words of the Christ. Thou alone art power. Thou alone art presence. In thy presence is fullness of joy, fullness of life, here, there, everywhere. In thy presence there is only the Spirit of God, the Spirit of love, the Spirit of truth, the Spirit of life. And besides this, there is no other. So I am not going into meditation now to use God or direct God, but to realize God. Here where I am, God is. There where thou art, God is. And God is spirit and love. And beside him there is no other. As you dwell with the idea that here where you are is God, and there where someone else is God, you have impersonalized. And you're down to that which is present here and there, which is God, which is I, the invisible Christ, appearing to human sense as person here and person there, where only the invisible self is. And as you rest in that, you're in oneness. You have realized the invisible one. And in the presence of the invisible one realized, you are free. You are free of every human need. The law is that spirit flows where spirit is recognized. You're in divine will. You are recognizing the invisible presence of divine will functioning itself. And it makes no difference what had appeared in the visible. It is known to be unreal. Totally imaginary. The world is moved aside. And then divinity expressing through your transparent consciousness becomes a new visible world in which the added things are present. The goodness, the harmony, the love of the invisible makes itself manifest. You are one with the one. And yet you've asked for nothing. You have simply witnessed the inner truth. And that is how you bless the world. That is how your light is not hid. That is how you accept the supreme gift of God life as the only life of you and your neighbor. How different than all of this running around we do as human beings trying to fill all the gaps. It's really believing in God. Mortal sense goes away, and we are Christed. We learn to accept Christ identity, obey Christ identity, serve Christ identity, live in Christ identity. We walk in Christ. And then every disturbance that arises is met the same way. Who are you? Who convinces me of a disturbance? Where is it? It's in the mind. Be still in the mind. Know the truth. All that exists in the mind is not of the Father. The only truth is God presence here and now. And rest. Now these are the weapons we have been given to accept divinity. We do not have to penetrate the iron curtain, says Joel. God has already penetrated it. But without our conscious realization of this truth, the presence of God will not function there any more than the presence of God has functioned there in the past. The presence of God functions only where and when there is conscious recognition and realization. That leaves it squarely up to us. We must furnish that conscious recognition. We must abide daily in the invisible self. We must tuck the world in where it no longer exists as an external fact. Now, if we could accept the following statement, all of the world's troubles, as far as we are concerned, would be over. Page 202. There is no power in armies. You wonder what kind of an intelligence could make that statement. There is no power in armies. Could you tell that to Hungary or Czechoslovakia or Poland? There is no power in armies. And yet here it is, statement of the Christ. Only the Christ could make the statement, because only the Christ is power. And only the realization of the Christ reveals the non-power of the army. He might just as well have said no power in disease or sin or famine or poverty or death, because they're all the same truth. The power of them exists only in the mind. That is not the Christ mind. the Christ mind in you, realized, reveals the non-Pilate, thou hast no power over me. There's no power in death. You can't entomb me. There's no power in arthritis. Pick up thy bed and walk. What did hinder thee? What hindered you was the belief that there's power in the mind. That there's power in things and conditions and persons and material objects. But there aren't. There's only power in the Christ mind. In the absence of the Christ mind, all these false powers are rampant. There is no power in armies. I say unto you that this is a law and a principle. It operates in your personal life if and as you make a daily practice of realizing where I am, God is. God in the midst of me is mighty, and all those who are opposed to the purpose of God have but the arm of flesh and nothingness. The Lord God in the midst of me is mighty, and there is no might external to me. No might external to me. Not in the mind of man or in the matter of man. Which is another way of saying there's no world out there. That army which has power out there isn't out there. What human being can say that? None. There has to be a Christ standing there. And Christ isn't just going to stand there if you're not practicing Christhood. Why else would a statement like this, so contrary to all human understanding, appear? If it were not possible to attain that consciousness which could know that there is no power in armies. No power in anything of the material world. No power in matter. No power in mind. World work will open you to that realization. And only world work. When you work on individuals, persons, yourself, you don't open to this. Because you're always limiting and finitizing. That's how valuable world work is. It opens you to the place where you finally can see when they invaded that country, someone stands in world work. And someone in that country reaching out for God finds help unexpected. Our function is to be that consciousness which is available for someone to reach out and touch. Where I am, God is. That is the truth of all of us now. But keep this truth as a pearl of great price within you. Then abiding in this truth, praying the prayer of realization of God's grace, God's omnipotence, God's omniscience, God's omnipresence, and understanding the non-power of what is not ordained of God, you will be fulfilling your function in this world. And you will watch the breaking up of error all over the globe and the gradual restoration of harmony. I cannot accept that these words are spoken in vain. I can only accept that these words are spoken and that they will eventuate into exactly what they say. The breakup and the restoration of harmony, meaning the kingdom of heaven revealed. not patching up a world, revealing the invisible kingdom of heaven, the change of consciousness, the change from mortal sense of life to the revelation of a spiritual universe as a living fact. But only by those who can sit and say, where I am, fearing God is, and being willing to live with that conscious awareness as a universal fact. Where my neighbor is appearing, God is. Wherever anyone is appearing, God is. And that God everywhere is myself. For I am the Father of that one self. That's what we've been trained for. That's what we've been chosen for. Let our light shine. But we must have some light to let shine. Divine light. Statements of truth will not save you. You must abide in truth. Dwell in it, live in it, hour by hour. Day by day, night by night. That means even while sleeping, we must know before we enter the sleep that consciousness is God and ever alive. It's the only way we can comply with a statement, even night by night. We must know that divine self, divine life, is never asleep. All that goes to sleep is the sense form. And we must consciously know this. Until it is a very part of your being, and then all of a sudden, a spiritual light dawns within you, whereas I was blind, now I see. Now I know that spirit is really the substance of all form, the law of all form, the cause of all form. My error had been that I had been believing in a power outside, a power in form, a power in thought, whereas all power is spiritual power. Once you get rid of that outside, then the inner and the outer are one and the same. No power in armies. Finally, he goes a step further. As you abide in this word, remember always, there is still one more step. That is that after contemplating the truth about God and also about yourself, for they're one and the same, be still. Listen. As if to say, speak, Lord, thy servant heareth. Thou utterest thy voice, and the earth melteth. In other words, always your contemplation of truth must be followed by the silence. Quite a number of people have failed to follow their contemplation with silence, and an equal number have failed to contemplate before entering the silence, so that they try to go directly to the silence sometime, and they find that it's a very shallow silence. They haven't plumbed the depths through recognizing truth consciously first. And if you will, recognize truth consciously, accepting oneself without a world, and then dwell in the silence, the so-called powers of the world will subside. You see, we've been doing world work without really recognizing it. Whenever you enter truth, you're doing world work. You're leavening the consciousness of the world. But now we're doing it consciously. There's no reason to wait any longer. If there's a mudslide around anywhere in the world, and you have allotted one meditation a day for the quiet realization of the non-world and therefore the non-power of the world, take it into consciousness, rest in it. You don't have to wait for the world to join you. There's always 10 righteous invisible selves working. Join the 10. Make it your practice once a day. And this is Joel speaking, not me, although I'm not reading it. Make it your practice once a day to meditate on the nothingness of the world. Whenever you are faced with any form of condition in the world that you recognize as being not of God. And then you're blessing your fellow man. You're recognizing his divinity. And you're blessing yourself. Joel suggests that we have one meditation daily on world work. Every day. And when you know that this is not just to protect the world or save the world, but rather to recognize your infinite self, I feel you're more apt to respond to that suggestion. I personally would feel that if a day went by that you were not doing this, that would be a day in which, for some reason or other, you are rejecting yourself. Too busy to find yourself. Now it comes. Error is not in the external. Power is not in the external. All power is in the still small voice. There's no power in sin. There's no power in disease. No power in tyrants. No power in external conditions. Power is in the still small voice. He has told us there is no outside world. If it were there, it would have plenty of power. Inasmuch as this is going to be the end of this book, here's Joel's final statement to us. In the midst of threatening world conditions, I say to you, think in higher terms than your own health, your own supply, or your own happiness. For some part of every day, give yourself to the realization and the practice of these principles through which you have witnessed healings of minor or major problems. Principles that have helped you or your neighbor. Begin now to think in terms of a principle revealing itself on earth as the presence of God universally. That would be, of course, the realization of one divine self as the only self in the universe. Now you have a month in which nothing new will be coming from this pulpit, and so you can either take it upon yourself to review the past, put into practice daily some of the things that have been suggested, and if you want to keep very current, to take today's lesson as your monthly work. Every day for 30 days, one period of the day to do world work as follows. face the situation that you have heard is impending or coming or present somewhere in the world. Face it with the knowledge that there is no world there. That there are no conditions, but there's no world to contain conditions. There are no evils, there are no fires, no floods, no epidemics. There is no problem out there. It's a world mirage. It's not ordained by God. It's not sustained by God. It has no law of God for its continuity. It wasn't caused by God. Take any phrases that you like until you can come to an instant agreement within yourself. That's true. What is out there? The Spirit of God. What is here? The Spirit of God. Is there space between? No, it's all one indivisible Spirit. Myself is all that is out there. They're trying to tell me myself, my spiritual self, is not out there. And it is. And I'm not going to have to remove that condition or improve it or change it or correct it. All that is there is my divine self. God's divine self, the divine self of the universe, is all that is there. And when you can find some inner peace from this, you'll know that your own consciousness of mortality has melted away. And even though the human mind doesn't understand a word of it, it makes no difference. When you find your inner peace this way, just be still. That is when the still small voice comes upon you. That is when realization comes upon you. That is when inner visions come upon you. That is when my peace comes upon you. And what happens in that inner realization becomes the law. And then something gives you the release and says it is done, or the sigh, or the rainbow, or something within that says, my presence is now the only presence here. And then you rest in that presence. And your world work is being done. You have overcome the world by finding the invisible presence. Russia won't declare peace and release the satellite nations. But you are helping invisible beings everywhere. You are leavening your own consciousness. You are letting your light shine. If the whole world could have been lifted up into paradise instantly, Christ would have done it in the form of Jesus. It's a slow leavening process. But it's our job. And it's a silent job. And it's the way to self-realization. Every day that you do this, you are accepting the infinity of your own being as the only reality. And as Joel says, until there is a dawning, something happens to awaken you to the actual experience of self. Oneness realized manifests as the grace of God on earth. Now, as you do this during the month, when we meet again, you'll find that we're all at different levels than we are at this particular moment. That month of leavening will take us to a new precipice. We are opening ourselves to what may be called a special seven. They only function at the level of our own consciousness, and as we are sowing to our one infinite self, we are preparing the way for us to receive higher guidance than hitherto. So this month, I think, is a perfect time for this world work to be upon us. We should know each other better when we return. There's no other assignment for you during this month. You must learn to recognize that the invisible will of the Father is ever working, no matter what appearances seem to be there. When you accept that invisible will as working now in the one self, which is here without opposite and there without opposite, it will manifest and you will have the God experience. This culminates 66 weeks of the Gospel of John. And our next series begins on the second Sunday in February. I think it's February 11th. It's called the Special Seven. And that culminates the work of Immortality House in San Francisco. In those seven, we will have much that is new. And this month will make it possible. Thanks very much. I hope to see you in February.